Good morning. Welcome to St. James Westminster. Please be seated. I still have a lot of people to meet, so I'll introduce myself again. My name is the Reverend Ann Weber, and I am your assistant priest. I can never remember. Michael doesn't seem to think it matters. We have a number of announcements this morning, so I'm going to hand it over to Steve.
Thank you, Anne. Three music-related announcements for you this morning. This afternoon at 2 p.m., we have the Amabile Choirs visiting for a one-hour neighborhood pop-up concert. So the concert will be about an hour long. It's admission by donation. We invite you all to come, and you can invite anybody you like to come along as well. We'd love to have a nice crowd for them this afternoon. This coming Wednesday, Valerie Hall, a colleague and friend of Michael's from Regina and a fabulous organist, is doing a recital here Wednesday night. And so if you like organ music and you want to hear the majesty of this instrument, do come out Wednesday night. Again, admission by donation. And we have tickets for our cabaret dinner evening in November, 15th and 16th. Judy and Elaine and Diane will be at the Fun Script table and selling those after the service today. Thanks so much, everyone.
All right, let's see if I can remember all of my announcements. The first is that you may have noticed if you came in from the Sterling Vestry, there's a box that is available for the donation of hats and toques and warm things. This is a project by Diane Fuster and the parish to provide warm clothes for those that are homeless and in need, and it's going to be through my sister's place and Men's Mission. So again, as it's getting colder, people need to be warm and to be safe. Diane was in there the other day and there was nothing on the shelves. So we would love to help them out with that. Another ongoing project that we've agreed to help out with is Huron College at Western University. They are in desperate need of food for their students. A number of international students have come and they have nothing to eat. And so Matt Martin, who was a child of this parish, is the chaplain there and has asked for our ongoing support, and Parish Council has agreed. So if you have basic food supplies or toiletries, there is the Our Daily Bread thing that we used to use is out in the Sterling Vestry, and we'll fill that up and let Matt know, and he'll come and pick up the food and distribute it. So that is ongoing. My final announcement is that on November 2nd, we are having another All Souls Day service. It's at 7 o'clock. It's a Saturday, November 2nd. And All Souls Day is an ancient Christian tradition that has really come to life again after the pandemic. It's a time of remembering those that we love that have passed away. It's a time where we can gather and allow ourselves to feel the true depth of loss, but also live in the hope of the resurrection. It's a beautiful service with chant, with special elements to it. Names of the deceased will be read. And if you have anyone that you are still grieving or still miss and would like to have their name read aloud in this church, we'll have a sign-up sheet for that. So please do mark your calendars for Saturday, November 2nd at 7 p.m. I think that's all I've got.
I also have more to say. Over the last 6 weeks, I have been working with many other people in the parish to develop a weekday evening children's group. We've done a lot of work. It's going to be called the Kids Camino. Things are getting ready to run, and that means I'm going to need some help now. We're hoping to have some volunteers, that we can have enough adults in the room, that we have appropriate ratios so that we can welcome children who would like to come and learn about Jesus. Volunteering for a new ministry often sounds a little overwhelming. So next week, between the services, I will be available in the Westminster room with all the information you might want as you prayerfully consider taking this new ministry on. Synod was yesterday. I hope you were all praying. It was lively, as per usual. And you may find that those of us who were there are still a little tired this morning. And finally, happy anniversary. Today marks our 151st anniversary of worshiping in this place of St. James Westminster. And you will hear a little bit about that as we go through the service this morning. Please stand. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, watchful and caring, our source and our end, all that we are and all that we have are yours. Accept us now as we give thanks to you for this place where we have come to praise your name, to ask your forgiveness, to know your healing power, to hear your word, and to be nourished by the body and blood of your Son. Be present always to guide and to judge, to illumine and to bless your people. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
Happy are the people whose strength is in you. Happy are the people whose strength is in you. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts. My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God. Happy are the people whose strength is in you. A sparrow has found her house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. By the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are the people's strength. Happy are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you. Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way. Happy are the people whose strength is in you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I will drink, you will drink. And the baptism which I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Instead, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please be seated. As I mentioned in the announcements, yesterday a lot of folks from St. James Westminster went to Synod. Synod can be a long day, and I think those of us who were there may still be recovering. Through the day, as we gathered as the Diocese of Huron, we shared moments of joy and celebration, and we also experienced periods of tension and concern. Ministries from across the diocese gave their annual reports, and we were updated on the finances. We sang hymns, heard stories of faith, and learned of new ways and new resources to help us continue to grow in faith. Together, we acknowledged and grieved for the parishes that have closed and the synod members who have died since the last time we gathered. And we formally accepted the diocesan plan called Turning to Grace. In his charge to synod, Bishop Todd reminded us that synod is never just about hearing what has happened in the past. Synod is also always about the future. So we spent our day together sitting intentionally in that very Anglican tension of already and not yet. Bishop Todd reminded us that we are all in the process of becoming Christians, becoming the church. We aren't there yet. We all still get things wrong from time to time. We all struggle. But we also are no longer who we used to be. And when we stay close to Jesus, we find our way forward. The Christian life is about transition. And we, in the Diocese of Huron, are in a specific time of transition. Things are ending. New things are beginning. And they both exist in part. We are part of an ancient faith. And as the bishop said yesterday, it is still the same faith. We still carry out the same practices in community, but we slowly begin to practice them in new ways and in new places. Today, here for us, it is our 151st anniversary. And I think that that makes the bishop's remarks even more relevant. Today we remember and we give thanks for all those who have come before. Their work and their prayer, their generosity, which enables us to continue to be generous today. Their examples that show us how we too might live dedicated to God. As we worship this morning, we use ancient prayers and modern prayers that speak to where we are in this time and in this place. I am still very new to this parish, but I can already see that this conversation between past and present and future is well on its way here. And it didn't just start yesterday. Steve sent me some histories of the parish, and through them I could see the beginning and ending of ministries, stability and change, as we, the community of St. James Westminster, become the church. In our gospel this morning, we hear James and John ask some incredibly bold questions. Teacher, we would like you to give us whatever we ask for. Now, I'm a parent. I know lots of us are parents. There's lots of teachers here as well. That's not a safe question. You're in trouble if someone's asking you that question. I honestly can't believe they actually had the courage to say it. And at the same time, I know that many of my prayers are the same. Lord, I want you to heal this person so that they return to who I was comfortable with them being. Jesus, I have a problem, and here's the solution I'd like you to work out. James and John keep going. They tell Jesus that what they want is to sit at his right and left hand when he comes into glory. And this is where things get really dicey. Because it turns out that James and John haven't quite heard all that Jesus has been teaching them. They are on the road to Jerusalem with Jesus and the rest of the disciples, but they are still expecting that Jesus will enter Jerusalem and take over, that he will kick the Romans out and liberate Israel. And they want to make sure that they get to wield power when that time comes. They want to be right up there beside Jesus as he doles out justice. But that isn't what's about to happen. As good as liberating the Jewish people would be, James and John are actually thinking too small. Jesus isn't going to Jerusalem just to liberate God's children. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to liberate all creation. And it isn't just the Romans who will find their power greatly diminished. Death itself is coming to an end. James and John are not bad disciples for hoping that Jesus was going to come in power and might and conquer the Romans. They're just thinking too small. And Jesus doesn't get upset with them. He doesn't roll his eyes and point out that they have somehow managed to miss the entire point of Jesus' ministry so far. Jesus gently returns to teaching. He explains again, the kingdom of God isn't about tweaking the current system, replacing an evil tyrant with a benevolent tyrant. The kingdom of God is about turning the world upside down so that leadership means service. Where the first are last, and through death comes life. As I listened to the bishop and others yesterday, I began to wonder, what if we have the same problem as the disciples? What if we have been thinking too small when all our hopes for the future are bound up in full pews and Sunday schools returning to their former glory? What if we, like the disciples, are still just in the process of understanding what God is doing in our midst? Maybe Jesus isn't going to refill every single pew in the Diocese of Huron. Maybe Jesus is doing something that looks different than the church did 50 or 60 or 70 years ago. Maybe Jesus is bringing us deeper into the kingdom of God. I confess, I don't know what this future looks like, and I heard decisively yesterday that no one seems to. But I also have to admit that I have much more hope than I did a few days ago. A lot more hope. Hope that the future of our diocese, of our parishes, will be full. Because although we don't always get it right the first time, Jesus is always there, ready to explain it again. Ready to hear our hopes that he will do whatever we want. Ready to tell us that there is something much better in store than what we think we need. More, in fact, than we could ever ask or imagine. And thank God for that. Let us stand and confess the faith of our baptism as we say,
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified,
Servant Lord, you became as one of us that we may be at one with you. Give to your church the same humility that it may seek to raise up all people as heirs of your grace. In your service we will find true glory. Righteous Lord, Servant Lord, you endured power struggles amongst your closest followers. Give to all political leaders wisdom to understand the true purpose of government. Take away all self-seeking and desire for honor. Righteous Lord,
we wait on your word.
Servant Lord, you saw the corrosive effects of status. Give to all the peace that comes from knowing we are valuable in your sight. Set our restless hearts at ease in your love. Righteous Lord,
we wait.
Servant Lord, by your bruises we are healed. Give to the anguished the light of your presence. Be with us, O Lord, in all our troubles. Today, we pray especially for Anna, Gavin, Cherie, Nancy, Don and Nancy, Joanne and Glenn, Eunice, Catherine, Brian, Anne, Sylvia, Carolyn, William, Bonnie, Robert, Judy, Peter, Grace, Lupe, Kevin, and family. Servant Lord, you are the source of salvation. Give to all who have died a new life in your eternity. Remember, O Lord, the work of your hands, that we may be with you forever. Righteous Lord,
we wait on your word.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what you have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Father, hear the prayers of your faithful people. Grant that all who celebrate this Eucharist may please you by the offering of themselves and the fulfilling of your will. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. Heaven itself cannot contain you, and your glory fills all the world. You accept our setting apart of places for your worship, and in them pour out your gifts of grace upon your faithful people. This table is a sign to us of the heavenly altar, where your saints and angels praise you. Here we have recalled the sacrifice of your Son. Here we have been fed with the body and blood of your Son. Here our sins have been forgiven. Here we have tasted the joys of your eternal kingdom. Grant that in these mysteries we may be united with one another and strengthened for service in your world. Therefore, with angels and archangels and those who worship you in every age, we raise our voices in joyful praise to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Creator of all, you gave us golden fields of wheat, whose many grains we have gathered and made into this one bread.
So may your church be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks.
Let us stand and continue in prayer. Father, you have given us this time of joy and have nourished us in heavenly things. Grant that we may show in our lives the love of Christ, who is our God and Savior. Glory to God. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and those you love and those you struggle with, now and always. My friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.